Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Wow. Can't say enough about what happened, South Florida, last night. Right down to the wire, one of the great games you'll ever see. And once again, Miami Hurricanes able to pull it out late. And joining us this morning from the Fiesta Bowl is the winner, 31-27 head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, Mario Cristobal. Coach, congratulations. What a finish.
Joe, good morning. How are you, man?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm watching guys go down. You got guys sick. I could see guys weren't feeling great. Some of those guys got injured, came back in and played. Boy, I'll tell you what, the heart of your team before we get into everything that took place was just had to make you feel pretty good about how important it is to your guys.
You know, when we got started getting a little bit run down and sick or whatnot, I started copying and pasting the Michael Jordan flu game to all the guys going to eat sons of guns. We got to roll, man. We got to go. And we've gotten tougher and tougher as the year's gone on. And I think our best football's ahead of us. You know, we were a little bit sloppy last night, but we were physical. We were tough and resilient. And credit to those players, man. They're the real deal.
All right, let's get right to Carson Beck, man. The guy's under the microscope every day, always coming from Georgia to here. Boy, I'll tell you what, he made some throws late in that game and then a heads-up play to score the touchdown, cutting back. What can you say about what you saw from Carson Beck and basically how he's been here probably for the last couple months?
I think all the stuff that we saw on when he was on his way in and him as the year has gone on, just getting more and more comfortable with the system. I mean, I've always said I think he's an elite competitor, an elite quarterback, and he doesn't get fazed by anything. And he has absolutely no concern about personal accolades. The dude just wants to win, man, and he'll do whatever it takes to win. So really happy for him and the rest of the dudes.
Coach, I tell you what I really liked is people were wondering, oh, we got the field goal here late in the game. And I could tell the mindset of your team and you, we're going to win this damn thing and make it a four-point game. So if we do score a little early, they're going to need a touchdown against our defense to win this game. Was that the mindset there at the end?
Unquestionably. Had to go for a touchdown. Try to win the game right there. We had plenty of time. We were on schedule, and we felt we had a great yardage game plan, especially in the red zone. So yeah, it was all systems go and find a way to get a touchdown.
Mario, I got to tell you, man, this is what is going on with this team. I know it's not a shock to you because I hear what you're saying to everybody. You got three wins, man, and the way you've won, and one Big Ten team that's been dominating, two SEC teams that have been dominating to get these wins, and they're not happening at Hard Rock Stadium. They've been happening all over Texas and now Arizona. The way this team has grown, at what point did you feel like this team was over the top and ready for the kind of football we've seen in these three playoff games?
I mean, this group, you could tell they were special in the summer. They were just different. Like we hit really well on both the high school guys. The guys that had been here for a while, they had matured to a level where they weren't going to be denied. And then the portal guys, we just did a better job on just making sure the character and the DNA and the wiring and the mindset were what we were looking for. That's a great combination. And these guys, we work to a point where you have to have love and respect for each other because it's not for everybody. So I think we felt it early on, but when we played Notre Dame game one, we all felt that, okay, this could be a special season. But Joe, we got to get a lot better, man. You know, we did a lot of things yesterday that hurt us. And we got to get back to work. We're on our way to the airport here in a few, and we're on the film, and we got to get at it.
Hey, That freshman you were talking about, Malachi Toney, he is. We've had more text about Malachi Toney today. That 36-yard run, one of the two touchdowns, the first one late in that fourth quarter. Talk about that play and his toughness, his blocking again last night. Herb Street and those guys did a great job just showing all the things he can do. You ever see anything like this from a freshman?
He's different. I mean, because when you – I've seen freshmen make plays. I haven't seen freshmen, many at least, do have the combination of making – having the ability to make plays, spectacular plays, but also having the grit and the toughness to get in there and throw their body around and block for their teammates. And that's a special combination. You see him. I mean, he gets bounced around, gets, you know, yanked and thrown down all over the place and goes right back in there and keeps going. So, absolute stud.
Hey, so when you got here and we had our talks and you were talking about, hey, man, we got to get this thing built back up and it's got to start. Is this what you want, the offensive and defensive line? I'm guessing this is what you said it had to look like, right? Is this where you are right now?
We're getting better and better. We've got the more length, size, power, girth, right? But we're jumbo athletes. I think we run well. We don't want to take just big guys that are just big. You know, that doesn't do much for you. We want guys that are athletic, that can run, and that truly enjoy the physicality of the sport. So we're getting better and better. Again, we gotta get a whole lot better over the next 10 days.
Wow, I'll tell you what, Fletch again, another 100-yard game for Mark Fletcher last night, running hard. And I love what you guys do when those guys get first downs and you a lot of third and manageable situations allowed you a lot of success. But I love when the big guys get behind them and you get another 10 or 15 yards. And that fist pumping I saw you doing, you like it too.
Without it, those are body blows, you know, and we knew that this game was going to be one of those, you know, we talked about all the time. These are heavyweight fights, and rounds 11 through 15 are going to separate the men from the boys. And you got to take those body shots whenever you can and just keep, and you got to take the hits too. We got hit like crazy, man. We got hit a bunch, but we kept getting up, and credit to Ole Miss and Coach Golding. I think those guys do a great job. Charlie Weiss Jr., an elite play caller as well. We just kept coming, man.
Hey, we haven't talked about him, and we should. Marion comes up with a huge game at wide receiver for you last night. 7 catches, 114 yards, including, along with CJ, some clutch catches on that last drive to really set you up. It looks like he's taking a bigger role as one of the key receivers for you.
Keelan has been a great player and an absolute awesome teammate and member of this program the entire year. This guy's got a huge future now. He is fast. He is explosive. And in this offense, the ball finds you when it finds you. You know, it's if they take one side away, it goes to the other side. And he has been, you know, had the ability over the past few weeks to show exactly what he's capable of. But we just love him. And he's another just unselfish, get after it, throw your body around type of guy. So looking forward to him continuing to make plays.
Hey, Coach, this is not the time to ask you, but I'm going to do it anyway. You can always tell me to shut up. But with this going on, this crazy world of the transfer portal and stuff, you're all zoned in on these games. That's the most. That's what this is all about. What you're doing right now. How hard is it with the other stuff? With we got people going, hey, how are we doing on the transfer portal? Everybody out there that's not playing football is getting guys. How is that going for you, Coach? How are you handling that?
Real well. We're doing exactly what we need to do and how we need to do it. You know, remember we're very selective, and you have to get the ones that fit your roster, and you have to make the right moves. Man, it's long and complicated, but we're exactly where we need to be, and we're going to be exactly where we need to be at the end of this.
All right, so I got to give you a couple numbers. 88 plays. When was the last time? Maybe at Oregon you did it. When was the last time a Canes team had 88 plays, those long? I mean, those are Mario Cristobal drives, 3 of them over 7.5 minutes.
41 minutes of time of possession. I think we were 11 of 19 on third down as well. Just a lot of efficiency and ball control as well. But again, man, they're a really explosive offense. I mean, look, if we could score every 30 seconds, we would do that too. But to have the ability, you know, to grind it out, to throw it around when you need to, again, just a credit to our coaches and our players for putting together a great game plan and getting it executed.
Hey, Coach, real quickly, 88 plays. Have you had a lot of those in your coaching career? I don't know. That sounds like a hell of a lot. That's a lot of plays.
You know, not a ton of them. Have seen it on the other side. Saw, again, it was on the other side of Clemson, Alabama, when they, you know, took us to deep water when I was over there. And there was 90-plus plays with Deshaun Watson. So that's a territory that is very taxing on the other side, man. And I think we felt it. And I think you see on that last scramble, it was, you know, it was a pretty clear and open and easy lane to get through and go score.
Yeah, you saw a lot of tired dudes at that point. Hey, you know the stat everybody's talking about, and I don't know, four drop interceptions by your secondary. They were there to make plays, which is a good sign. They were in position, and we're so used to it. But they get those interceptions, or most of them. That game probably feels a lot different, too, with those takeaways, huh?
Yeah, we had some in our hands, and not only in our hands, but with the ability to go and score.
That's
and,
right.
Not to mention, you know what, we missed a field goal. We turned over the ball as well. There's a lot of stuff to fix, man. There's look, you're always excited and fired up about a win, and you never make a win feel like a loss. But damn it, we got a lot of work to do, man. And we're right back at it. You know, we're getting on a plane here in a little bit, and film's already taken care of, and we're breaking down, you know, two at the same time and get to watch the game tonight and just keep rolling.
Mario, thank you so much, man. It was really nice of you to find your way back here to us this morning. I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. Congratulations, Coach.
I was looking for you at 4 this morning, but you were asleep, so I just had to wait for your call, man.
Did you go to sleep last night? Did you sleep at all?
You just can't, man. You're so wired. You're bouncing off the walls. You got to recruit. You have to have great tape. But you know what? And on top of all that, you just feel really, really blessed. It's like, again, really happy for these guys, and just want to work my butt off to give them the best chance that we can give them.
Coach, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great flight home.
Peace.
All right.
Thanks, Joe. Go Canes.
Miami touchdown! Miami touchdown for Carson Beck! Is that the winning moment? It's a 3-yard touchdown for Carson Beck, and Miami has a 30-27 lead with 18 seconds to go in the game.
Toddy, the Hurricanes gonna potty. How about that, Miami fans?
Poizer and Thomas are back deep on the goal line. Mesidor and Bain are lined up on the same side. And here we go. Perhaps the final play of this final four. 6 seconds from going to the national championship. Snap. Chambliss drifts to his left. He lets it fly deep in the end zone. It is knocked away. Knocked away. Incomplete. No time left. Miami wins. Miami's going to the national championship, Don. We're going to the national championship.
Pack your bags.
That's the end of the game.
Is it officially over in the desert this time? 23 years later, there are no flags, and Miami has won. Miami's going to the national championship. Carson Beck is your Hurricanes hero. Miami wins 31-27, and the Hurricanes will play for the national championship.
Mario Cristobal has kept his promise. He came home to take his Hurricanes to the national championship game, and he did it in 4 years. Right. Promise delivered.
That was a fired up Joe Z and DBJ on the call last night. Great calls. And you heard the Carson Beck stuff. And, you know, we haven't talked much about Carson Beck. Everybody's talked about, listen, nobody's been trashed coming to a new program more than Carson Beck. I can't remember anybody. I really can't. That's transferred to another school, and they nickname him, the Porsche or whatever kind of car, Ferrari. How's the Ferrari guy doing? And all these things that have popped up. And he got beat up. I thought Georgia trashed him going out the door. He had to overcome the arm, which didn't come around right away, and missed spring football and the whole thing. And then, you know, everybody knows what he was making. He's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the country. And the Canes believed in him, man. And he started believing in himself. And he told the story. And look, I think all that experience came through last night. I do. Late in that game, his experience and belief and the guys he has, that's why he's here, right there. That's why. To make plays and do some of the things that he was able to do. And they, as well as they ran the ball, they were physical again. As everybody that's playing them right now is finding out, oh, hell yeah, they're physical. That O-line is physical. But he also had to make some throws last night, especially late in that game, and he was able to do it. And then the run. makes a cutback run. Nobody, when he cut a back, was over there. The whole Ole Miss defense was on the right side of that play. So anyway, really happy for Carson Beck. Listen, man, he's heard it all. And remember, he was dating one of those sisters, and they were bad-mouthing. I mean, and the guy just, you know, like, okay, it didn't work out. I get it, you know, and you're not happy. And everybody's got a thought. I don't know. I never know if I've ever seen a guy get blasted more than this guy leaving Georgia to come to Miami. I'm really happy for him. Listen, Georgia's sitting at home. And he's still playing. And I'm sure it feels pretty good for him, too. He knows a lot of things were said about him when he left. And they got a nice quarterback at Georgia. That guy, he's a good player. But, boy, I'll tell you what, this guy has really, really come through. And this is why they paid him what they paid him to come here for those moments. And that's why he's here.
Yeah.
Thinking he was going to have a chance to do this. And now he's in a national championship game. So it's a hell of a story.
Whoever evaluates quarterbacks over there, I think they know what they're doing, huh? They're two for two.
There's some good stories. There's some good stories behind that. And, you know, we talked about Quinn Ewers, and, you know, and Quinn was on top of their list, and then he decided to turn pro.
Yep.
Now he's, ironically, starting quarterback with the Dolphins. Carson Beck coming off the injury. You know, it's a throwing arm. You're like, hell, is this thing going to be ready to go? And doctors had to evaluate it. And then, you know, you're hoping he'd be back for spring. He wasn't back for spring. He ends up missing it. And you're like, oh, boy, this is is this going to be okay? And here he is, man.
It was okay.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing.
It was all right. Yeah, the whole gang got together, and it was it's a hell of a story. It really is. Yesterday, I got to tell you, folks, in sports here, this is a crazy day. First of all, Canes going to national championship. You probably didn't think that when they lost two out of three games there during the middle part of that schedule, or a little bit past the midway point of that schedule.
It feels a little surreal, doesn't it? You felt in the beginning of the season that this was a team that could compete.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. They had to overcome a lot of things, though, that they've done this before. They've gotten off to really good starts.
Yeah, and then those conference games, man. Those damn conference games.
One loss ended up being through the years, three or four losses. Yeah. And you're like, oh, God, here we are barely over 500.
Yeah, the Louisville game, and then you won, what was it, Stanford, and then you have the SMU game. And it's like, well, they're destined for another one of those mid-December bowl games.
You were pretty healthy going into this game. I don't know where they are right now.
They're a little banged up, but I guess probably everyone is in this NFL schedule, the playoff.
But it's obvious what everybody's been saying. They got a really good football team. Last night, the offense helped out the defense a little bit. Defense really dominated early, and then Ole Miss got it rolling pretty good. And again, I can't say it enough. The Canes defense, numbers look a lot different today. If they intercept Woody, even if they drop one of the four, and they just catch three out of four. They had, and it's not a shot. It's just to the point of defensively, the fact they got their hands on it. They had some easy interceptions they dropped where the ball's bobbled up in the air. I mean, it's just right there.
They landed in their lap.
Yeah. And they dropped all four of them. And so for, you know, Herbie's going, man, this, and then he brings up, yeah, and they got four drops on defense, and they weren't great catches. I'm not saying it was, oh, you know, the guy he got his hand on it, but it was a tough play. No, those were four easy interceptions for those guys. And in some cases, there were two or three guys around the ball. When it bobbled up in the air, they were playing volleyball. So anyway, overcoming everything, the penalties and everything else, and find a way to win late in that game is what great teams do. And by the way, not only did they wipe out, what was that last drive, a little more than 3 minutes, 3:13, they wiped out all but 18 seconds and the timeouts and said, go get them.
Yeah, so Malachi scores too quickly. They go back down and score. They score too quickly.
And
then Miami almost scored again too quickly. What were they, 19 seconds?
Yeah.
Boy, they moved the ball up quickly. So Chambliss had three picks on the season. He almost had four in that game. There were four drops.
He's a hell of a player. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, he's great.
He made some great runs last night.
So I think another big one, I told you this when I got in this morning, that running back, Lacy.
Getting hurt, pulling that hamstring a little bit.
That run that he broke, that was scary.
You know, he slowed down on that run. I thought, man, it's kind of weird. He's slowing down a little early. And then you find out.
I didn't, you know, sometimes they do that. They look up and they see that scoreboard.
No, but he came over, and then they got the injury report saying he pulled a hammy a little bit on that play.
That was a game-changing deal there too, right, that guy couldn't go? They were using him as a decoy the rest of the game kind of when he got back out there.
Well, listen, they got their passing game going. They did, and they got their tight end involved, and he caught the same pass, the corner route, like three times and, you know, found a hole in the defense over there. And they were trying to get a pass rush. I thought Ole Miss did a pretty good job pass protecting our guys after the start of the game. But, hey, man, they find all these stats, good or bad, that I'm throwing out, time of possession. Hey, listen, Herb Street said it early. Like, you know, you feel like the Canes should be up 20 points in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the numbers. They had 88 plays. They had time of possession, 41 minutes to 18 minutes and change. Like, they hammered them. And they had three drives of 7 minutes or more. Woody, man, you like get sometimes just get one of those in a game. But it's, you know, it's not a quick scoring offense. Not very much. Not against these good teams especially. But they stick with it. One turnover was costly down. That was at least 3 points down there where they were that tipped away and got intercepted.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of good numbers. Great on third down, 11 to 19 overall, really, really well. And yet I'm saying that, and they got shut out in the third quarter of that game before scoring 14 basically in the last 5 or 6 minutes of that game in the fourth quarter. So a lot of fun stuff to watch. And no matter what you're doing, and when things go against you, they didn't fold. When there's some bad penalties they had, and some of them were bad, some of them on defense gave them fresh downs, you know, late hits and high hits. And, you know, you go back and look at them. I got to be honest with you. Most of those Canes penalties were penalties, man. I mean, whatever you want to say.
No, they got their money's worth on some of those hits. Yeah.
But they still find a way to win.
One rough in the passer where he clubbed them across the face, gave him a nice clothesline.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
All right. Yeah,
got his money's worth.
The guys
right?
are gassed going, hey, can you not do that, man? We're trying to get off the field and not give them fresh downs, brother. Please help us. Hey, by the way, the other news, of course, coming out yesterday, Mike McDaniel happened right after our show. I swear they must have been.
Do they do that intentionally?
I think they're waiting.
A lot of people were asking me that yesterday, and I don't know if they were half joking. But did they do that intentionally?
I don't know.
Do they know that, like, you've been a little hard on them the past few days?
Are you going to start that? I've been hard on them. They should be hard on themselves.
Well,
they
I wasn't here. I was in Wake Forest. I heard that you were a little hard on them through the grapevine.
Omar.
It's just what people have been reporting back. I did wake up to a text in North Carolina from Omar.
Yeah.
He said you were a little rough on them.
I think
I don't know why you're being so hard on them. It's not like they deserve any of that.
I think,
man.
I speak on behalf of a lot of Dolphin fans. I do.
I think they handled this thing really well. They let Mike kind of twist in the wind there and do that press conference and all that. I mean, they really handled
that is a strange one. And now they're coming out saying, "Well,
they loved them."
No,
they put up a stupid video on Twitter.
Did they?
Yeah, they put out a tribute video, or whatever, on Twitter. They suck, man. Like, if you're going to fire the guy, just fire him on Monday.
Did they really
stop jerking everyone around?
They put out, what, a tribute?
Yeah, it was a thank you, and we love him, and it's just, man. Yeah. They're so tone deaf.
I don't think Mike's got a bad bone in his body. I really don't. But
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah.
But don't let him. Face the media.
They have some guys over there, without saying names, that have some bad bones in their body. And
so
it's just a matter of time before I spit it out. Anyway, hey.
You're ready to explode, aren't you?
I just want to see us get our act together.
Like maybe not making the coach go and answer these ridiculous questions from the media, and then he tells them that he's going to be involved in the search.
And then they go,
just fire the guy on Black Monday like every other team.
I know you're like the rest of people. Everybody like to go, was anything planned out here? And I go, I don't know.
There's no way something happened in the last 3 days that they were like, oh, that's it. Now we can't keep them.
I will tell you, after that New England game, the way they got pounded in the third quarter again, a lot of people went, uh-oh, this is...
Yes. So fire them on Monday. Just be normal.
I don't even know, by the way. I know some of you are wondering. I don't know anything about this John Harbaugh. I know he's going to get a head coaching job and probably going to be the number one guy. Whether he's 63 or 64, doesn't matter. He's done more winning than anybody else. I know he hadn't had a lot of success recently in the playoffs, but he's had some really good teams. And he's won a lot of games, a lot of regular season games. He's been the number one seed and lost early, but he's been the number one seed. And everybody's talking about, you know, what do you think? There is a little relationship there, not necessarily with John, but Jim Harbaugh and being a Michigan head coach. And Stephen Ross, of course, is very involved in his school. So a lot of people thought that might give the Dolphins, you know, a little bit of an in here. I think if it's down to money, we know that's not going to be an issue for Stephen Ross. If he needs to get the guy and it's about money, he's going to get it done. I'm afraid these guys, well, their job should be before they take a job to look and see what it looks like. See what kind of talent you have. How are you at the quarterback position? And there's clearly a whole bunch of teams that fired coaches that are in much better shape than we are with their roster. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious to see who ends up getting this. By the way, I saw an interesting name, Chris Shula, who went to school with my son at St. Thomas Aquinas, and he's defensive coordinator for the Rams. He's been part of that coaching staff for a while now, and he's one of those young names that everybody's talking about. Grandson to Don Shula, David Shula's son, and he's been great, loaded on that defense, and we'll see. By the way, they've got a big playoff game. I know we haven't talked about the playoff games, but we got it's fun, man. Two tomorrow, four on Sunday. So just grab your popcorn, your favorite beer, and kick back and enjoy yourself because playoffs are going to be starting up. And then we got one tonight, man. We got the Friday night teaser. Indiana, Oregon, round two. I have no idea.
Who do you like tonight?
Indiana.
Did you get your picks? They're 3.5-point favorites.
I like Indiana. I don't know.
I wonder what the spread would be on Miami, Indiana.
So I'll give you one.
Take into account it's a home game here.
What
for
I don't
Canes.
Know, I don't know who would travel better. For the people that care about that part of it and hotel, you know, people are going to be staying.
Oh, okay, I got you.
That side, the tourism side of
it. I'm guessing Indiana. I know that Indiana has a ton of alum down here, so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know they got a quarterback that
yes,
starts.
They do.
It's a very popular kid, and he's related to half of Dade County.
Yeah, Indiana, Miami would be
I've heard
very
so
hot
many
ticket.
Stories recently. More and more people go, oh, I work with his aunt. I work with his first cousin. Oh, no, the Mendozas get together. There's like 1,000 of them in Dade County. They're all related. And I'm like, you're kidding.
Hmm.
And then, hey, by the way, this kid, how about what he's got a chance to potentially do? I'm guessing it hadn't been done very often. I'm just guessing. Heisman Trophy, National Championship, and first pick in the draft.
It's a good deal.
I'm guessing that hadn't happened very often, you think?
Be nice if he's the runner
up. Joe Burrow,
up, though,
what? Did Joe Burrow win the Heisman?
That's a great question.
Joe Burrow did two of
Must
those,
have, right?
He won the championship at LSU.
He did.
He was the first overall pick. We know that. But that's a good one. There can't be too many people in that club, right?
It's a very elite club.
That's a hell of a club. From Columbus High School. Columbus High School's had a good year. Mario Cristobal went to Columbus. Everybody's happy in Columbus, man. Columbus High School, the priest over there, congratulations. Bless me, Father. You're doing a lot of things right over there, brothers.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Morning, everybody! Ow!
Ooh, that morning sounds a little bit scratchy. Hey.
Wow!
What a football game.
Dude!
Vlad, if you went to a different school and don't like either of the schools playing, even you were on the edge of your seat last night.
I did go to neither school. I didn't go to either Ole Miss or Miami, yeah. But I am a Canes fan.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're not a fan of
no dog
team,
in the race.
Oh, no. If you wanted to watch pure adrenaline, pure competition, pure just back and forth, that was last night.
That was crazy. Oh, my God.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. The cheeks.
Fourth quarter cheeks were tight.
Hey, I'm going to tell you how bad the game got. So I'm watching the game with Mima because.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And she's an over-enthusiastic cheerer. It got to the point where she said, I can't watch. I'm going to bed. Tell me what happens.
She got stressed out?
Yes.
Wow. Mima couldn't take
it?
Yes. I got to tell you, I had people were asking me yesterday when I did the old pool cannonball, which wakes up my entire neighborhood. I mean, that's the whole point of it. And, you know, last time I had a sidekick, of course, was my son, Tommy Tobin. And he goes, you know, and this is the problem with sometimes when you have a teacher wife, you know, school comes first. And she's like, he's got to go to bed. I was like, fine. And he's like, he looks at me, gives me a look. He goes, you wake me up for the pool jump? And I was like, yeah, I'll wake you up for the pool jump. And so, like, as soon as the ball's called incomplete, I, like, run to the room, like, Tommy, let's go to the pool. He goes, I can't get up. And so he just didn't have it in him. Little guy was tuckered out. But we jumped in that pool. Oh, did we jump in that pool.
It was, you know, and the cool thing for me was, as I watched this game and as this game was playing out, when the tip ball got picked off, right? I'm thinking, man, this has the SMU feel all over it, right? They had opportunities to get picks off of Chambliss and didn't. And I'm like, oh.
It was crazy, boy. Dude. How many dropped interceptions?
Four. One was a pick six.
That one at the end of the first half? Easy.
Where he jumped the little short route.
Easy.
Yeah. Jumped it. It looked like it could have been the same play that was at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh my God! Yeah. I was beside myself last night with all the mishaps. Then, you know, we haven't seen the Canes play an undisciplined game like that in a while. And it was, goodness. And so those were shooting you in the foot and killing drives.
Wait, can I ask? What's his name? Number 11.
What the hell was he thinking?
Wait. You know damn well your big ass ain't going to be able to do it sneakily. He kind of went in and laid on the guy. I'm like, what? You're the biggest guy on the field. Who you sneaking around
in? In front of two referees.
Right. Now, I will say this. The first targeting, the targeting that was called.
Which one? The Ole Miss one or the UM one?
The UM one.
Because the Ole Miss one was more.
The Ole Miss one was more of a targeting than
yeah.
Right.
I was beside myself with that one.
How are we supposed to, and I was looking at it from a football perspective.
What do you do?
That guy's up. How are we supposed to know that he's on his way down?
I don't like targeting. I hate it as a rule. I hate targeting in general.
Here's why, and here's my biggest gripe about the rules of football, right? And it pertains to this mostly. You have two moving parts. And I'm going to tell you, as a runner that is getting ready to get hit, the first thing you do is cringe a little bit. So you are actually, when the defender picks a target to hit the target and then you move,
mm-hmm.
you sometimes put yourself in harm's way, and thus it's not a targeting. And these guys who haven't been a part of this, it's hard for them to figure that part of it out.
It was such a crazy thing. And then they go to that official, and he was no help. I don't know who that guy is. The dude who they go into the booth. What do you think for us, Charlie? And he goes, great call. Right call. He just kept he was like Steve Javy back in the NBA Finals back in the day.
Well, where the first one he thought it was the bad call. He thought that the player should have been kicked out for Ole Miss.
Yes, correct.
Well, they originally called targeting, so he thought they were just going to confirm it.
Right, he's like, oh, this shouldn't even take long.
Every time they called something, he just agreed with the ref. So originally when they went to him, like he was he thought he was agreeing. So, but like
and
every
then
time.
They changed. Which, by the way, they usually never change targeting unless it's, just clear. And so that part of it frustrated me. And here's the thing, that because I'm more than sure all Canes fans were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And like when they called the pass interference and they go, oh, these refs are killing us. I'm like, tell your guys stop being grabby. I mean, he was all over him.
I know. Thanks for Lane Kiffin last night, by the way, chiming in, being at the end of the last week. He was pass interference. Hey, listen, you guys only have 20 years to think about pass interference in the Fiesta Bowl. Don't worry about it.
It's only right. It's only right.
I don't know what
every Kane fan was feeling, oh my, these are the ghosts of the Fiesta Bowl of the past.
Yep.
Right.
Like, that's how we were feeling. Like, okay, all of a sudden they're undisciplined. All of a sudden, ball. I'm talking about, listen, guys. Whatever you had on your hands and gloves, secondary, take it off.
I never seen so many drop balls.
And tips. You're talking about tips. They're tipping balls into themselves.
That's right. Look, not even hard thrown. All you had to do was receive the bread.
Just
receive the bread.
They were doing, they were like passing to three of them. Whoop, whoop, whoop. It was like three of them all looking at each other. Bassanth is like, deep shot bounces off. O'Connor's looking at it.
And every time they did that, guess what happened? Ole Miss would score.
Right. Oh yeah, or something momentum. It was listen, really crazy. It was really.
If you were a scarred Canes fan, this is definitely wasn't the end of a game to heal wounds.
Nope.
Because I got to tell you, Carson Beck made up. When you think about we got questions about Carson Beck, and dude calmly went out there with those stones.
Yeah, we call them.
And took care of it. He ran when he needed to run.
Yep.
He threw it where he needed to be thrown. And he threw into some tight. So it wasn't like he was playing conservative.
No.
He was thrown into some tight windows. Throwing dimes.
Yeah, well, we refer to him as his new name on this show.
Oh, we got a new name?
Yeah, it's Triple B. It's Big Balls Beck. That's what he is. He's Triple B now, dude.
But
I feel like, dude, much
Big Baller Brand is under new management.
New management. What a time, dude. And then, I mean, the noise I made, first of all, when they had, you know, because we're like, you know, you're doing this game of the Canes are doing this methodical drive down the field, and everything for Ole Miss feels like lightning strikes. And then they reverse it, and the Canes, they get that touchdown to Malachi Toney, and you're like, whoa! But was it too fast? And you're just like, no, you just got to take the lead. And then they battle back, and they're scoring, and you're just like, oh, but they left them too much time! And just the perfect drive down the field, stones throws, C.J. Daniels, Keelan Marion. Oh.
You know what? It never, ever looked like anybody was rushed during that drive. You know, they called timeouts when they need to call timeouts. They let the clock run when the clock needed to run. It was perfect execution. And I'm like, when Beck took off and ran, I'm like, there's a lot of Like, oh my goodness.
That's what you said. I'm like,
and then I'm thinking, you know, because I'm scarred.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, oh, two hands on the ball, baby. None of them accidental slips. He's, you know.
No, definitely, dude.
But what if you are a Canes fan, there is nothing that you can complain about, because that was a great game that your team took care of business regardless of what went on. And you could tell, and I pointed this out, in the middle of the fourth quarter, both defenses were exhausted.
Dude, it was crazy.
And that's part of 73. He wasn't, they go, oh, he needs to concentrate. Oh, he was tired. Yeah. He was tired. That's what happens when you're tired.
Two bad penalties.
Yeah.
Bad false start penalties.
And so it was, my goodness.
He said after the game, Cam Ward gave him the look. He's like, I'm never going to false start in front of Cam Ward again. Cam Ward, it was cool that he got to be there with the guys. And then, dude, like just the idea of they get to play for the championship in
at home.
Their building.
Hey, just think about one game, man. Just trying to go 1-0.
1-0, dude. I mean, Mario Cristobal. We could just do the whole show on just Mario reactions to everything.
Did you not react, dude?
When he got hugged by his assistant after the go ahead, and he was so mad at him.
That's very Nick Saban.
He had no interest. He's like, not till zeros.
You know, you went to coaching rehab with Nick Saban.
Yeah, that's very
Nick Saban.
Yeah, we'll get it. Like, it was impressive. And then, I mean, the reaction he had when Mark Fletcher had that run where, like, he got just – they just bulldozed for, like, 17 yards with the whole offensive line.
That, he just gave it.
That had to be better than sex for him.
No, he needed a cigarette right
there. Like, he was in complete bliss when he just saw the line being tough. I mean, it was so cool. But I'm serious. Dude, to think about –
You know what I was shocked? I was shocked that – Chambliss was rushed,
mm-hmm.
but never really sacked.
Mm. He was.
They were getting him to throw to it. He threw some balls that he knew the rush was there, but they never really got to him. And then guys start dropping like flies. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, please don't. Like,
Dade South says, I like Mario telling him to get the team on stage instead of all the corporate phonies. Oh, the Verbo lady who's tried to present it. We here. At Verbo, congratulate.
I mean,
the Hurricanes.
How about this? There's no better run than a college CFP run, because you get a trophy after every game.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. It's awesome. I was like, oh, I'm like, I didn't know how the trophy worked, because the last one was just a big trophy. This one, I was like, oh, the ball comes off.
Hey,
it's got
this is crazy, Dave. You get a trophy for every bowl game in the playoffs.
It's fun, baby.
Because you know all them sponsors need to go up there and talk.
Dude, but he was a delight, and we'll get all into it. He was on Joe Rose this morning. We'll give you some of Mario as well. We'll celebrate
today. You want to get that quick announcement?
We'll get to it. Yeah, the Dolphins have just hired a GM.
We can come back.
It's not the Harbaugh guy. We'll get to it. Everybody's like, get to it. It's like, no, I'm going to celebrate the Canes. You know what? The Dolphins having a fresh start on something and hiring GM guy I've known for 3 seconds. Sorry, dude. 20 years. The Miami Dolphins still haven't won a playoff game. I'm sure this guy will solve it. We'll get to it. John Eric Sullivan is their new GM. We'll get to it.
I agree with you. Leroy, you weren't here yesterday, so we have to get on Tobin. Somebody said this was going to be a blowout.
Dude, let me tell you something.
I feel good
about my prediction.
Oh, wait. You both felt like the Canes were going to be.
I thought the score would be like 27-13.
I felt good about my. Zog was giving me hell. He's like, what do you think is going to happen? I said, dude, because everybody was asking me. I was like, I'm thinking they're going to take in 2 tickets to Blowout City to this team. Like, that's where they're going. And you know, people
it
got mad.
Like, that's where it was headed.
That's what I thought. I was like, I feel good. I feel like the Canes should have blown them out. I give major props to Ole Miss and Chambliss and their coach with everything they've dealt with. And also the Canes did not play their greatest game. I really don't feel bad about my prediction. you know, I would have felt terrible if they would have lost.
But here's the deal. The score didn't reflect how much the Canes actually dominated time of possession and all of that stuff. But the penalties, the drop balls, they catch two of those balls. The game's not even close.
100%. 100%. They barely had the ball in the first half. It was crazy. But, man, I can't believe it. A championship game on the 19th in Miami.
Day before my birthday.
This is so cool. This is so
Martin Luther King Day.
Yes.
Your birthday is the 20th?
Yes.
We always do this. This is crazy. Your birthday is my son's birthday, and Leroy's birthday is my daughter's birthday.
Yeah, the blacks love you.
That's crazy, dude. Oh, man.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
I mean, what can you even say after getting to relive that in that fashion? I almost just cursed. Holy hell.
Oh, man, I got the little goosebumps, man. That was something fun last night.
What a night last night for the University of Miami and all its fans, by the way. And I am a believer, and we can ask our guests today, and I'll ask you guys. I am a believer that Malachi Toney and Carson Beck have written themselves into the book of Hurricane history. Carson Beck did it on that one drive. He needed a legacy drive. He did it. I was saying earlier today to some friends, there should have been someone, Dan Radakovich, standing in the corner of the end zone with one of those big cardboard checks that said $4 million NIL money. Because he earned it on that 1 3-minute drive that earned every penny that they gave Carson back. He should have been there to present the check the way that when you hit a big jackpot in a slot machine, somebody comes out of the woodwork with a big cardboard check.
Oh, he earned all that money. Malachi Toney with the story. Everybody knows he got to college at 17 because he reclassed because he was damn near too good for high school. No, Hawk, yes. You talk about the Andre Johnsons and the Santana Mosses. You have to bring up Malachi Toney, and he's only a damn freshman. It was something special he did last night.
Crazy. Carson Beck needed a legacy drive. He delivered, and what a night. And we're going to celebrate it today. There's so much going on in the world of sports. The Dolphins have a new general manager. Mm-hmm. The Heat got rained out.
That's what? Ridiculous.
My favorite part, there's a few things going on the chat right now. People are saying, where the hell are you? You look like you're at a Motel 6. You are indeed at a Motel 6, aren't you?
Yeah. And it's so funny. Can y'all see? Somebody checked on the thread. Crowder's car is parked right outside his door. Watch this.
This is the sign of a cheap motel. That is so great. You are, I mean, that is as rinky dink. Oh, that's a motel that the air conditioner is so loud you can't sleep. The noise next to you in some room doesn't sound like it's legal.
The covers and the pillows were like damp when I got here. This is the funniest thing. I don't know why this is so funny to me. The remote control has a sticker that says remote. People don't know what this is when they see it.
Hey, you got one of those remote brand remotes?
It's remote on the remote. This, this was one of them strong 79.99s a night.
Somebody says Crowder's towel got a chain on it.
There's some exposed nails in here, but we're gonna be safe during the show.
I can't believe you have Wi-Fi in there.
Like that's crazy in itself, right?
Yeah, you're connected. You look better than ever, and you're in the worst motel possible.
And the password is days in one. It's crazy. It works though.
What a this is amazing to me. On one of the greatest nights in South Florida sports history, no joke, last night was just emotion-inducing for all of us who've lived so long waiting for this kind of return. And you got all the feels last night, and you did get the drama. I mean, they were just bum-rushing that team for a half. Like, you felt like they were 40 points in the lead. Yet it comes down to the end. You got, I mean, four, I think there were four lead changes in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah,
like,
four.
It was crazy. It delivered on every emotional sports level. You thought at one point you're running away with it. Then you start to question, why aren't we running away with it? I'm going crazy that they're not running the ball on those final 3 minutes, that they're only passing, but it worked. Like, I'm telling you, all the emotions are going on in one of the greatest sports nights in South Florida history in the last 20 years. And while that's going on, this is almost like Stranger Things, the upside down. While that's going on, in the upside down, Solana is hosting a three-hour talk show with Tommy Tighe on 560 AM about their memories of the big three. While on the real planet, all of South Florida is engaged on the same thing. Again, an emotional roller coaster that only sports can deliver. Nothing delivers the emotional roller coaster like sports. As that's going on, because the Heat and Bulls game is in a condensation delay, there was no other option on the AM station other than to have Solana and Tommy Tighe vamp for 3 hours on their memories of the big three.
Still can't believe Chris Bosh didn't score a point in Game 7, but the Miami Heat beat the San Antonio Spurs. Can you guys believe that?
What Talk was about Pop- living in the upside down, man. Holy mackerel.
Pop took Tim Duncan out of the game, and he couldn't rebound, so Ray Allen got the ball instead.
Was there a single person, let us know on the text or the chat, was there a single person listening to Solana and Tommy Tighe on AM 560 last night while the football game was on FM 104.3?
Not even our producers, who were literally on the board, were listening to us because they had their eyes locked in on the Canes game.
I should have went to break forever.
I mean, why not just flip over to the football broadcast? Say, you know what? We'll keep an eye on what goes on here at the United Center. Let's all listen to Joe Zagacki and Don Bailey Jr.
We're in the network, so you can't just. We don't have. They don't. The Heat don't have the right.
Ah, the hell with the network. You got a football game to watch.
One of the best football games I've seen in years. No, I'm not exaggerating. That fourth quarter was crazy.
It was unbelievable.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I couldn't get the vision of Solana and Tommy Tighe because they weren't even in the radio studio because that's being used by the 104.3 football broadcast. So they're in a cramped production studio and, like, makes your hotel room look like you're at the Ritz-Carlton where they did a two-hour, three-hour talk show on Heat memories while that game was going on.
Thigh to thigh.
That's the name of Solana and Tommy Tighe's new talk show, Thigh to Thigh.
Spotify, YouTube, check it out everywhere.
Yeah, that one's on Spotify.